May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Epiphany. We are in the season of Epiphany. Have you ever had an epiphany? An aha, awakening, light showing, God appearing moment? The little boy Samuel in our Old Testament lesson had one while he was trying to get some sleep in the temple. Nathanael, the Galilean man without guile, had an epiphany when a stranger spoke to him in a way that he knew his very core being. My grandson Forrest had an epiphany last Saturday when, for the first time, this baptized six-year-old decided he would take the body and blood of Jesus at my ordination. My husband had an epiphany while he was watching the movie Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman at one point looks at an accuser and says to those who've done wrong, he says, "They are all that you say, but they are more. I choose love." And it has been changing my husband from any judgmentalism. Father William, founder of Amistad Mission in Bolivia, had an epiphany when he saw a poor little Quechua woman on the street of Cochabamba, and he realized how deeply beloved of God she was, and each of us are. An epiphany, meaning from the Greek word manifestation, can happen to anyone, anywhere. And in this liturgical season, which is sandwiched between the better-known Christmas and Lent moving to Easter, three major manifestations are particularly remembered. A star appeared in the Far East to strangers of the Jewish faith and led them to find a babe hailed King of the Jews. When he was in a river being baptized by his cousin John, Jesus had the Holy Spirit show up in the form of a dove and a voice from heaven. A wedding feast became the place of Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine. And while we cannot create epiphanies in our lives, there is a stance that makes it more likely to happen. Many epiphanies are less about an external miracle than a change in our eyesight or our ear hearing or our heart attitude. So for those of us who are saying, "I'd like to have one of those happen to me," we can adopt the stance that Samuel learned from his old mentor Eli. In our Old Testament lesson for today, Samuel, the miracle child that Hannah prayed for, is already serving God as a young boy. He even sleeps in the temple where the Ark of God is. And God speaks Samuel's name one evening. "Samuel, Samuel." But the boy assumes that this is the voice of Eli. When he checks with Eli, Eli says he hasn't called. "Go back to bed." Three times Samuel and Eli play this out. And only on the third time does Eli realize the Lord is calling the boy. So instruct Samuel to respond, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And this is the stance that we too can make, whether in church at the altar of God, or driving a car, or watching a movie, or walking down the street. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." I must admit, there's something about this lesson today that brings up something that annoys me. When someone calls me, particularly on the phone, and does not identify themselves. Have you had that happen? They say, "Hello, Ann," and I say, "Hello." And then, not recognizing the voice, I'm left guessing who it might be. and hope they'll say more so I can recognize their voice before I make a fool of myself. And finally, I might just guess and say, oh, Uncle John, so good to hear your voice, only to hear a neighbor say, no, it's your neighbor, Ed, and I wanted you to know the lights are on. So the Lord knows us all together, as we heard with the choir singing so beautifully Psalm 139. So why, and God is considered, why didn't God identify himself? Why did the Lord not say, Samuel, this is the Lord calling, sit up and pay attention, I have something to say. I think it's because the Lord wants us to become so familiar with his voice that we recognize it. Like Jesus wants us to know his voice as well as the sheep know the good shepherd. Like the very few people whose voices I know with just my name spoken. Like Bishop Mono for me, whom those of you who are my ordination know has this combination of a British-Pakistani accent, so when I get a call that says, hello, Anne, from Bishop Mono, I know who it is. Or my husband, who might call me by a pet name, Monkey, or now it's sometimes Reverend Sweetie Pie. No one else uses that, so I know who's calling. Or my identical twin sister, who, when she used to call, I'd think, it's me calling. No, that must be my identical twin sister. These are the voices that we know so well that we respond as soon as they call our name. And learning to recognize the voice of the Lord and being willing to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. This is the work of faith life. So how do we recognize the voice of God speaking in our lives? Some of us might assume, as Samuel had, that God really doesn't speak so often, so why bother to learn the tone of his voice? But we are people who live after Emmanuel has come and after Pentecost. And if we've read the book of Acts, we know that the Spirit speaks. Some of us might figure if God really wants to speak to us, he can knock us off our horse, like he did with the Apostle Paul. But those of us whom God most frequently speaks to and continues to, those who continue to hear his voice, are those who have hearts that are listening. Like a young woman who would say to an angel, be it done unto me according to your word, or a boy who's already serving from a young age, or disciples like you and me gathered together on a Sunday morning to worship God. We who seek God can learn to spiritually listen just like a piano student does ear training, to train the ear to the particular notes and rhythms. Or a bird watcher who intentionally goes out to learn the colors and the voices of the birds. When I go out in the woods, I can identify perhaps 5 birds. I feel pretty good about that. But Claire Mellinger, a professor of ornithology, went out on a walk with us and identified in those same woods 35 birds because he had trained his ears. And so spiritually, we want to train our ears. And we want to learn from Eli that essential lesson to say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. A great place to start saying that is in church when we enter. We can be physically present, but not very alert or distracted by thoughts of where we were going to lunch or what we're doing this afternoon. I can be so concerned about whether I'm saying things right and remember everything as a priest that I can forget that we're all here to worship our Lord. And then we may hear a word that speaks more loudly to our hearts. We may notice light from one of the Trinity windows that the Holy Spirit is illuminating for us today. If we enter and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. If we do that, Every time we leave this sanctuary, we take even one word or idea that God has dropped into your mind or heart to ponder for the rest of the week. It has been a great service, even if the sermon is lousy. But church is not the only place God speaks. Even more personal can be the speaking and listening of our own personal devotional time. We are simply more likely to hear God if we're trying to hear. It can be simple, like using the prayers for individuals or families that we have in our prayer book, or a daily bread devotional, or some Bible reading plan. And as we learn from Samuel, let us begin with, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Or, as Paul commended us to balance last Sunday in his sermon, we can hear God as we serve, as we volunteer for noon lunch, or folding bulletins, or go see a neighbor, or as I go to the boys' home as chaplain. Let's remember before we set out to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Finally, a wonderful part of Epiphany is our expecting God to appear in unexpected places. Fantastic places, but more often ordinary places. A star in the sky, a visit to a river, a wedding of a friend, a wait in the grocery line, a drive in the car. God's part is to speak, and our part is to listen. Sometimes we're surprised by a sudden epiphany gift, like the bald eagle my son and I saw flying down the river on the way to Christmas Eve service, or the call from an old friend right when we're in a moment of doubt. But just as great can be ears that are trained for every day, ears that have heard that the good news of Epiphany, God coming down, has already happened, that Emmanuel Jesus promises to be with us always, and we become Epiphany people. That we live with the wonder, realizing every breath is gift. And when we train our spiritual ears to hear, as Jesus was always commending, every voice that calls our name can be treated as a beloved child of God, whether best friend or telemarketer, although the latter takes more advanced spiritual work. Every bird song can be a word from our Creator calling out love. Elizabeth Barrett Browning's poem reminds us of this. "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush of fire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round and pluck blackberries." If we learn from our old mentor Eli this morning to pray, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," we might be surprised by some great epiphanies. But more important, we might experience an epiphany of the heart. Amen.